Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Kurt, it happened. The Nuggets won. First championship. Jokic, unanimous MVP, was absolutely stellar. I mean, what were your big takeaways?
It was, look, first off, it was a coronation for Jokic, right? Like, as there was so much debate about around the MVP this year, right? Like, oh, is he really, are we going to give him three straight? Is he really that guy? Should we be mentioning him with Bird and Russell and all that? And, like, he just went out and dominated the playoffs. So, like, in that sense, it's a coronation. It kind of ends that, is he really that great conversation that I think some casual fans had? Like, is he really all that? Because he, to be fair, Corey, he's not, like, you watch, when you watch him play, he's brilliant, but he's not somebody who walks on the court and just instantly passes the eye test of great player. So I think that there was that. But I think, Corey, the other interesting thing to me that was really impressive from Denver, game five in particular, but frankly, the last three games, they were all played on Miami's terms. They were grinding, slow, defensive.
But that's how Jokic plays.
Yeah.
Because in like that's what great players do is like, we'll take what you give me and I'll still beat you.
Yeah, wasn't that what Denver did? They're like, oh, you want to play that way? All right, we're going to have a great Christian Braun game. We're going to have other guys step up too. But like, they beat the Heat at their own game, which is what Boston couldn't do, what Milwaukee couldn't do, right?
Yeah, I agree with you that, you know, remember in the All-Star game, I will never forget this. I was watching the All-Star game. You know how they had the draft this year?
Yeah.
And all the players, you know, like players – that is like when you show like, well, you know, who do I respect? Who do I want on my team kind of thing? The last two picks, right? It was Lauri Markkanen and Jokic, the back-to-back MVP. Jokic didn't even wait for his name to get called. He just walked over, right? And just said, okay, I'm on your team. I'm not going to be the last pick. And I thought to myself, this is a back-to-back MVP. And even, I understand the All-Star game, whatever. Like no one plays
MVP. No, yeah,
I get that. But I'm saying like the respect level wasn't even there from the rest of the guys in the league. I'm like, you're going to wait for the second to last pick? He's going to have to pick himself? And then now it's like you're seeing these comments come out. It's like, well, he's legendary. You know, he's one of the all-time greats, potentially the best center to ever play the game. And so, and it's like, well, what happened since February? Like, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true. Although he will be the first to admit that, like, the All-Star game is a bad format for his style of game. But still,
you still have to show respect. You know, yeah, like, he's exactly. The back-to-back MVP. Like, no, you're not going to let him, you know.
I think they were brilliant. And I think the other thing that really stood out, and I think every championship team does this. You look, Jokic was the best player, unanimous MVP. If they'd expanded it beyond 11 guys and had 50 guys vote, 50 people vote, it would have been 50-0, right? Like, it was a given. But if you're a championship team, you have to have the role players step up for them. And they did. I mean, Bruce Brown got himself paid.
Awesome. Great pickup. I mean, I always think to myself, you know, you know, I'm a nerd, you know, just like you and me, Kirby, like to like geek out about the small things around the margins. I always think about what are the greatest additions, you know, like, like around like the trade deadline or just like or just in general, like things around that you can pick up and really increase your team's you know, efficacy. Obviously, Aaron Gordon was huge for the Denver Nuggets generally. I thought like talk about a great
when they
fit.
Got him 3 years ago. Yeah.
And and free agency and all that stuff. I understand like but Bruce Brown, like pound for pound, what he brought to that team. I mean, I loved him in Brooklyn, but in Denver, he was perfect. I mean, perfect.
Can defend. And by the way, put in a better position. In Steve Nash had him playing like small ball four at points, like just trying to go kind of crazy lines. You're like, no, you're a guard wing and did just stay in your lane. And he was brilliant at it in that role and stepped up. But they got Christian Brown. Christian Brown had a good game.
Another guy who punched above his weight, I thought. I mean, he won a championship. I know he said he's like in the super like exclusive group of back-to-back championships for like Magic Johnson and Bill Russell are in that group.
Like there's a couple of random ones who are guys got drafted late onto really Johnson got drafted late into the middle of the Showtime Lakers after winning with I think it was Michigan State. You're like, oh, well done, dude. But yeah, he didn't play a role like this, really.
I know, and that's what I love about Braun and Brown is both of them, I think great teams, obviously, you know what Jokic is going to do. He's going to give you a triple-double every single game. You know what Jamal Murray can do. You know what, you know, like I said, Aaron Gordon understood his role, and I think he did very, very well in that role, giving you critical games when he needed to. You know, and then obviously Michael Porter Jr., everyone has been enamored with him since he got in the league, you know. He's like the perfect basketball player as far as like body type and skill set. It's like, what? So I understand that, but to be able to get your bench players and your role players to punch above their weight all the way down, I mean, that is a dream. That's what great management is. That's what a great GM does. So in my mind, Denver, like, knocked that out of the ballpark.
Yeah. Two quick thoughts. A, they did that. I mean, when you said all the way down, game six, Jokic, was it game six? Jokic gets in a little bit of foul trouble. And DeAndre Jordan's got to play 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Like, they've got to get him a couple of minutes out there. He blocked a shot, grabbed a couple boards, was solid. Like, hey, in this really small role, and I think Reggie Jackson did it earlier in the season, we just need you to do this for a few minutes. And they stepped up and did it. Michael Porter Jr., I think, deserves credit, not just because it's a great story after three back surgeries, which were the red flag. It's the reason he dropped in the draft and all that. But in this game, and frankly, the whole finals, he could not hit. He could not shoot to the point where you could feel the tension in the building. Like, every time he started to go up, you'd feel everyone go, no, no. You could see, like, the dude. And he hit the one and the roof came off the place. But he knew he wasn't hitting. He was getting to the rim and finishing. He was defending. He was making plays. He's like, all right, that's not falling. How else can I impact the game? And so many guys get in their own head when the shot doesn't fall and they don't impact the other parts of the game. And to his credit, he didn't just roll over. He was a critical part of what made it work for them. So,
and as a young player, too. And I understand that, you know, the Denver Nuggets have been doing this. You know, it's kind of funny because you think, okay, well, there are some other teams like the Lakers, for instance, who kind of – identify really good talent and then lose them, right? Yeah. You know, the list is long there.
They're going to overpay Austin Reeves this summer because of that. They're not going to let him go, right?
Exactly. He's like, we've learned our lesson with everybody else who's left. Caruso, D'Angelo Russell came back. And then, you know, Julius Randle, you know, Brandon Ingram. Like, the list is very long in L.A. But they're good at picking talent, right? Denver's great at developing talent. Like, remember Jeremy Grant, who went to Detroit, got that huge deal, became their guy. I mean, he was there on that Denver team. And I thought, wow, like, how did they find, like, – because he'd been in the league a while before then, but he didn't necessarily hit his stride yet, you know? And it's the same thing with Aaron Gordon. He was in Miami. You're like, okay, well, like, yeah, you're good, but are you a franchise player? Then he goes to Denver and just automatically it's just, wow, like, you know, the trade value, his value as an individual just goes through the roof because you're like, that's the kind of guy that, you know, anyone would want on the team. And I think that's what Denver's really, really, really good at. And it took me a while until this season. I was like, this has actually been happening the past few years. Mike Malone and his staff just do this a really good job of that. So I want to give them a hats off.
They deserve credit. And they're set up to do this in the future. And they're really smart about it. If you notice, there was a small trade during that didn't get a lot of attention because it wasn't a player during the finals where they were trying to set themselves up for the future. They traded with Oklahoma City their 2029 pick. So way out past what they want to think about for late 2024 first rounder and a high second rounder in this coming draft. And the reason is just what you're saying. Hey, especially with the new CBA, it's going to get really expensive, really fast to keep this team together. Their core four is like literally at the salary cap next year
and they're signed through 2024, 2025, the starting five.
The starting five are locked up for next year, and KCP has a player option 2 years out, and you know, may or may not, but it's not going to be some unreasonable number they can't match. So they're kind of locked in. Christian Brown is locked in, but it's going to be, and we'll talk about the other guys in a second, but this is a really smart move by them bringing in, like, if you're going to keep this thing going in a new CBA, you're going to have to draft. Yeah. As the Lakers are looking to, look, they've got the 17 pick. They're talking to teams right now about getting a, Brooklyn has two in the first round later. They're like, can we get 2 for 1 and maybe draft two guys who can fit into the rotation? Because we're going to, you're going to need rookies who can contribute, and guys who spend multiple years in college might be more valuable in the back end of the first round now, early second, where you're like, hey, can this guy come in and play? Can I get this guy and he can come in and help me now? Even if his ceiling isn't up there, can this guy help me keep this team going now? Because I'm going to need, if I'm paying my stars, I've got to have these rookie contract level minimum guy, affordable players who can help. And that's going to be the trick, I think. You know, like KCP, they've got locked up. Corey, Bruce Brown's made $15 million, a little 15.2, I think it is, over the course of his NBA career through 5 years. Yeah. He's going to make that next year. Like his salary year is going to be in that ballpark. Like he, and I don't know if Denver can keep him because of it.
And that's a phenomenal point you just brought up. I mean, because in football, the way you look at, you know, it's always helpful to put things in perspective and look at parallels. You look at, running backs, you know you're going to get your high performance. Like you can get a rookie running back who rushes for 1,000 yards. That happens often, right?
Right.
So you're looking at like, okay, if I want a team, why pay, you know, a superstar running back or a veteran running back, you know, a high dollar, even the veteran minimum is crazy versus a rookie contract. You know, you can get the same, if not better, production early on. So just draft the rookie, right? And I think what you brought up is a phenomenal point that cannot be overstated, is that in the NBA right now, there are so many people who have tried to do the, let's just get an aging superstar. Then it's like, well, let's get an aging superstar on a veteran minimum contract. They buy out their contract, then sign with us for whatever, something at a very ridiculous rate. And that has not necessarily worked out the past few years. Like we've seen that not work. So then the alternative to that is, well, you go through the draft, right? And the reality is Denver, it's not like they're pivoting strategies, right? They went through the draft. They built an incredible team and a championship team. They did it the right way. And now they're peaking at the perfect time where Jokic is 28 and he's a back-to-back MVP, you know, finals MVP, right? And a champion. Murray's 26. You know, like everyone around, like their core came through the draft and is peaking. Now, instead of they can do the veteran minimum thing or try to get people like you're talking about, Bruce Brown level. Another example would be someone like the guy from Miami, Jay Crowder, who went to Phoenix. You know, like you can get like a Marcus Smart, but those guys are going to cost you $10, $20 million a year. Why not get someone like a Christian Brown out of the draft, late first round? You're going to pay a rookie scale contract, and the guys who stay college now because of NIL, it's actually the perfect system. You can get a guy who has 4 years of experience and pay him rookie. It's a great point, Kurt.
I love that. I'm glad you brought up Jay Crowder, because like there's more of that. There is more of the, we really need this guy. And Crowder was out of the rotation. We didn't see him at the end of the year. Didn't see him in the playoffs. There are, and everybody looks at, like, we'll talk more about the Heat later. They talk about Kevin Love, which was a really good.
I thought that was a great pick.
It can work. But there's way more misses than hits. It's really hard to find that guy. And if you'd told me Kevin Love was going to work out this well in Miami, I would have thought you were hitting those special brownies a little early in the day, man. But he was brilliant.
I thought that was a great pickup for Miami. I got to say, I was very pleasantly surprised. But you're right. There are way more misses than hits. And I just think going through the draft, instead of trying to draft a superstar, although this year clearly there are some superstars to get, which is awesome. I think the great teams are going to be the ones that exactly what you're saying. How can we find guys who can help us now? And in the NBA draft, you know, the past couple of years, it seems as though it's been impossible to really evaluate talent because guys are like 18, 19. They spend 3 weeks on campus and then come to the league, you know, where they play 3 games. And it's like, well, how do you like really justify this? It's safer to go veteran. But I think now with the NIL rules, keeping kids in college longer because they can get paid. And especially with the whole G League too, you can go make $500,000 in the G League and get some tape and kind of making the fix there. I think that makes so much more sense for teams building out 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, that side of the roster. Give me 10 minutes of valuable play, you know?
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Well, I think that kind of touches on the other big topic around this team, which is, and a lot of people talk about, is can they do it again? Which I think they absolutely, in the short term, just looking next year, absolutely. Like, I think that they're, I know they're the betting favorites, and with good reason, because even if you look at every other team in the West, it's like, well, Phoenix took them two games, and they've got Durant and Booker. Like, yeah, sure, but who are you putting around them? The Lakers are older. The Warriors are older. There's teams capable of making those runs. But then you get into the longer question of legacy, like, or dynasty. Can this team become, can they win three out of the next five, four out of the next, you know, six or seven? Corey, I think this jumps us over to Corey's jukebox because it's right along those lines.
Yes, it is. So Corey's jukebox, I want to bring in Fleetwood Mac. So I'm inviting Fleetwood Mac into the pod.
Let me skateboard with my juice and go. We're ready.
All right. Oh, really? Yeah. I wanted to play. So I didn't know this, you know, like I'm kind of a music nerd. So I was like, not really, I guess, whatever. So, I went back there. Fleetwood Mac made like 10 albums before Rumors. I know I was on Apple Music and I was just like, oh, Fleetwood Mac, I want to listen to, you know, like Lindsey Buckingham and like Stevie Nicks, like that Fleetwood Mac that I know so well, like Rihanna and Dream, you know, like all those songs, Go Your Own Way kind of thing.
Yeah,
but they made, like, the list just kept going on and on and on. Before I found out they had like, I think, 9 or 8 years of a band, like Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. Like 8 years of like real hard blues, like influenced by Muddy Waters. Like, I mean, it was wow. Like blues, John Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters. It's kind of like the classic movie, you know, all the British bands were like listening to Muddy Waters and Sister Rosetta Tharpe and Robert Johnson. And then they just kind of like, it influenced the British rock. And then you have like Rolling Stones and obviously Fleetwood Mac and like a ton of bands coming out of that. But the main point here is that I didn't realize that the music was like completely different for like almost a decade.
Yeah.
And then they got Stevie Nicks and Lindsey, and next thing you know, it starts warping until it creates this whole new band that then, you know, like Hall of Fame caliber, changes the world kind of thing. But it was hard to keep together. It was very volatile, that partnership, but it was very productive. And so I think that, I wanted to do the album, then Play On, which is a classic album from the old Fleetwood Mac before they got Stevie and Lindsey. And, you know, so that to me is kind of where the Denver Nuggets are right now. That's the dynasty question, is, you know, they're like a good blues band, you know, like they, you know, they've been, you know, together for almost a decade, 7-8 years, and they made a great album, then Play On. You know, they made a great album. The question is, can you keep doing it? The only way you can keep doing it, I believe, I don't think this team is primed to be a dynasty per se, in the sense that, like, they're going to need help.
Yeah.
Because I think the West this year was like, not that good.
No.
So in the past couple of years, it's kind of been a toss-up in the West. It's like there hasn't been, you know, the Eastern Conference has been the more powerful, more consistent, more dominant conference, but they just kind of beat themselves up. And then a bruised Eastern Conference, you know, contender comes out and plays the West. In my opinion, you know, I think especially this year, like the Heat weren't that good. Like, we didn't even know they were going to make the play-in game, right? And then the Lakers were not good. You know, another thing where I'm like, they kind of like got lucky. Memphis beat themselves and they beat a bad Warriors team that had no chemistry. And then they ended up getting swept by the Nuggets. So in my mind, I'm like, I know the Nuggets are good, but I think given the circumstances, the extraordinary circumstances of this season, I don't know how good they actually are. I don't think they're dynasty level. I think there's obviously champions and contenders. They're a great blues band, like the old Fleetwood Mac, but they're going to need Stevie and Lindsay to get to that dynasty level. But then the reality is you can't sustain that for very long.
No, I think, by the way, I think the legacy question just becomes weird in the new CBA because we don't know the consequences yet. Like we just, it's going to have real impact and it's going to be harder to keep teams together, but we don't, there's always unintended consequences. So like what we think of the new CBA and how it affects team building when we're talking about this 3 years from now will be different just because we'll have a sense of it. I think they're poised to make runs, but you are right. First off, to be fair, nobody wins a championship without luck. Like I don't want to downplay what they did. Like I don't care if you're the 72 win Bulls, man, you catch some breaks or you don't win it. Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But they did catch a lot, and Boston kept shooting itself in the foot. Milwaukee couldn't get past the Heat and had an injured star, but also shot them, like came apart at the seams. Like you said, the West, and even looking ahead next year, you're like, well, Memphis could be really good. And then you look at the looming Ja Morant's, you know,
which we should get an answer pretty soon.
I would have bet this weekend, the parade is Thursday. So my guess is Silver won't drop it before that because he wants to focus on the Nuggets. But Friday, Saturday, somewhere in there, Monday, they don't, let's put it this way, they want to get it into that window before the draft on Thursday, next Thursday. They don't want it dominating that news cycle. So, but anyway, the point is, like, they're kind of a chemistry mess and probably will be a chemistry mess. I think the West sets up for them pretty well, although Phoenix is the one team I think could really pull it together, and maybe the Lakers or Warriors. But the dynasty requires, like you said, Boston's going to get their act together, right? Like, I just feel like there's so much power in the East that it's not going to be that easy to do. And dynasty is one of those things where it's easy to say, yeah, look, they've locked their guys down. They are set up to make a run. I think they're set up as well as you can be. But actually doing it, actually winning, what did the Warriors win? 4 out of 6 or seven, whatever that was. Like that's
putting yourself in a position. Hard. Yeah, putting yourself in a position to go there 6 or 7 times. That's the thing. Is like a dynasty, like you make the finals 7 years in a row. You know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of what I mean is that like given the circumstances, I'm like, could I honestly see this Denver Nuggets team in the finals for the next, you know, 8 years or 5 years? And that's what a dynasty is. And I'm not necessarily sure if I can even say yes with confidence on that question.
Yeah.
And then you're going to say, can they win, you know, whatever, half of the next 5, like 4 out of 8, like the Warriors or like, you know, whatever the Bulls won, like 6 out of 8, you know, like can they win that many? That's another question entirely. So that's kind of what I mean is I'm very hesitant to throw the word dynasty, but absolutely great team set up the right way.
Yeah.
The foundation's there. I think they can, with Stevie and Lindsay, you know, in our Fleetwood Mac example, I think they can become a Hall of Fame type of team. But the question is, you know, who's going to come in and help them get there. But right now, I think they're obviously, they cement themselves as a contender next year.
Yeah. Is for sure. Is Jokic Mick Fleetwood in this analogy? I'm trying to figure out.
I have no idea. It's just a band. Anyway, so let's go to Kurt's Corner. So look, you know, we talked about Miami. We talked about getting to the finals. And once again, completely underrated team in the sense that this team, as constructed, without, you know, a bankable, in the sense, superstar that would drive ratings and stuff, 2 of the last 4 years in the finals. Given that extremely difficult Eastern Conference, what does this team need to do? You know, like to get over that hump, or are they good enough in your mind? What do you think?
They are so good they're going to have a hard time reconstructing this roster. They gave Vincent and Max Strus are free agents. This is a team that has a history of overpay. Like we fall in love with those guys and then we overpay them. And now what are we going to do with Duncan Robinson? And there's 8 different run. You know, there's a bunch of other Duncan Robinsons before that. they tend to overpay their guys and then try to get out from under them. And I'm not sure if they're going to do that in this case. The buzz around the league, I mean, during the finals, talking to people from Miami and people around the buzz is that they're going to go star hunting and that they are, if Bradley Beal shakes out in Washington, that's the kind of guy that Miami might want. I don't think Damian Lillard gets traded this summer. We've discussed this. I don't think it happens. If he ever became available, Miami would be the kind of place he would go. Like, I think they can draw it. Bradley Beal's the one where there's a real sense Washington's going to break this thing up. And his price tag isn't going to be trade-wise. In terms of what you, this isn't going to be one of those Kevin Durant, all right, I need 4 first rounders and 8, you know, like pick swaps. And it's not going to be like that because of his contract.
His contract is crazy.
A, he has no trade clause. So Bradley Beal is only going to go anywhere Bradley Beal wants to go. Otherwise, he'll just turn down the trade. I think he'd take one to Miami if it came to that. But Miami knowing that and knowing that he's in a $251 million, we've discussed before, $250 million contract that's just going to anchor your books for years. I don't think people are going to give up that much.
He's in year two.
He's in year two.
So I sign this deal.
So I think this is more the kind of thing where Kyle Lowry probably ends up in the deal only because he's making $27 million and he's kind of salary ballast and you can make it work. And then you throw in someone like Tyler Hero and a pick. They've got some picks and you make it work. And I think, you know, whether that comes to fruition or not, by the way, I think you're going to see the Heat go star hunting. And I think you are going to see by next trade deadline, I think you'll see Bradley Beal on the move. I think you're going to see Washington completely retool this thing and finally do what, I mean, you and I have talked before, like we don't know what Washington is doing. They might actually have a plan now with Michael Winger.
You know, it's interesting, though, with Miami. I got to say, I don't appreciate the way that the Tyler Hero situation has unfolded.
Yeah.
Think about this for a second. I mean, they saw this guy, had that spark, right? Yeah. He captured the fans' imagination, coming off the bench, you know, wins the sixth man of the year, right? Like he cements himself as a really good player for you. You kind of throw him into the fire a bit, you know, like kind of mix around. You're like, okay, well, let's get him into the starting lineup. You know, versus coming off the bench and kind of being like that Jordan Clarkson spark plug for us. You know, let's get him into a starter. And then he gets injured. And the team, you know, first of all, the team hasn't looked good. Like, and we talk about this all the time. They didn't really look good all year long, right? And then they put it together in the finals. But there was a really funny coincidence there, if you really think about it. Play-in game, first round. You know, when did Tyler Hero, like, stop playing, you know, for, like, he had the broken hand? Yeah. Then they go on this crazy run. And they almost, you know, they almost win a championship without one of their, you know, their anointed stars. Like, it looks like I thought they were really going to invest in him and build a franchise, you know, really build the franchise around him, or at least, you know, with him as a considerable part of that. But now he kind of seems, I don't want to say, he kind of seems dispensable, you know? And it's kind of like, how does it happen in 2 years? Like, oh, you're a great bench player. Oh, you're a starter. Now we don't really need you to go to the finals. That to me is very frightening if I'm Tyler Hero. So I think you're right. Like, being in a trade package, you know, that could be very, very feasible.
Tyler Hero as a secondary shot creator, I think, is kind of a sixth man. But, like, he wanted that starting role. But I will tell you that I know Miami had that conversation during the season, and they didn't do it because – Tyler really wanted to start and they wanted to give this a real chance. But there was a sense that, hey, man, Gabe Vincent's become just rock solid. Like, we can count on him. And if he's out there, and he eventually took Kyle Lowry's job, but like, if he's out there, we're not as vulnerable defensively. And then we can turn Tyler might just be a great sixth man, right?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
and it's
not.
Kind of what I mean is, I think that's what I mean is, like, I don't appreciate, I understand, like, what I think the way I agree with you as an organization, you got to listen to your players, but at a certain point too, you got to understand, you know, there's this idea, like, what's good for the player and what's good for the organization. And, you know, obviously what's better for the organization always trumps out. And in this case, where I think we're seeing that very clearly, you know, I think Tyler Hero is an unbelievable sixth man, period. Right. But beyond that, I think that creates at this stage in his career, because he's so young, like to want that much responsibility at that age, I think that is a detriment to the organization, as we clearly saw that play out. So as an organization, we're like, look, accept the role or we got to move on. You know, that's what I would think. Yeah. And it's just a shame that I think it came so quickly, is my point, is that sometimes it's better to take your time on the road to greatness versus kind of just jumping into it and then being in a position where you're no longer necessary. Now it's like we can go to the finals without you. You know, and that's a really hard conversation to have, to go from the darling to,
yeah,
we can live without you. I mean, yeah. That's all because you wanted to be a starter. You know, like that to me is that's really
it's our. I will say this: as much as we talk about it, if there's one organization I trust to kind of figure it out, find a couple guys and make it work, it's Miami, right?
Like, yeah, we trust them for sure.
We trust them. The other thing I want to talk about in Kurt's Corner, though, we're just a little more than a week away from the draft, and I'm going to safely say, Corey, and you know some people in San Antonio, they're probably going to take Wembanyama, right? I think we're safe there. I think we can safely pay. That's a lock, right?
So what else are you looking at then?
But after that, it gets wide open. And there's a lot of – look, Charlotte at 2, willing to trade the pick. Portland at 3, willing to trade the pick. Houston at 4, Detroit at 5. All of those picks are in play, which makes it a really kind of wild run-up to the draft. Why you're hearing Zion Williamson rumors. The Pelicans are very high on Scoot Henderson and can picture Scoot in their system next to Brandon Ingram, next to C.J. McCollum, next to all – C.J. as a great mentor for what is a good young guy when I got to talk. The minutes I've gotten to talk to Scoot Henderson, he seems like a good, thoughtful young man. And somebody like you would bring it, want to bring into the organization, and they've got good role players and they're like, man, we can make this work. Would they trade Zion? And it, like that buzz is out there. I don't know if they're going to, I don't know that the market for Zion,
I would
say if you were Charlotte, would you want him? And by the way, about to start his $194 million massive contract.
I know. I think once again, this is if you're New Orleans, in my mind, you have to roll the dice on Zion. Like, it's just, I mean, but then you think about the trade value. Like, you know, if you think about, like, well, would another organization want him? I think the answer is yes.
Yes.
Because when he does play, he's all-star caliber. And when he doesn't play, you know, they're still going to talk about your organization. So I feel like, you know, from a star power standpoint, he's a must. Like, it's not a liability. Even if he's sitting on the bench.
If Charlotte actually would make a deal like that and put Zion next to LaMelo Ball, like that's a must watch. It's risky, but man, I will tune in.
It's kind of like, remember Derrick Rose? To me, that the Zion question at this very moment is very similar to Derrick Rose, where Derrick Rose, you know, wins MVP and like he has a cool nickname, D Rose. He's so much fun to watch. And even though he did not play at the MVP level, you know, like again, you know, you still want to watch D Rose. You still want to cheer for him. Like when he gets on the court, he's a fan favorite. Everyone loves seeing him come off the bench or just get any minutes whatsoever. Like he's still a valuable asset to the organization. You know, so I think that's kind of what I mean is Zion, whether he plays or not. Like I think he still captures the imagination. And there are so many players in the NBA, but very few of them capture the imagination. You know, where people actually want to like watch you. You know, like, people want like there are presidents. Like who flew to Durham to watch him play, you know, there's like very few people in the world have that kind of, that secret sauce.
Just the stats, he's played 37% of his games over 4 years, but last season paid in 29, but when he's played in his career, it's 25 points a game on 60% shooting with 7 boards. And last season in the 29 games he played when he was on the floor, they were outscoring their opponents by 7 points per 100. Like they were crushing teams when he was on the floor. You've just got to find a way to get him both motivated and in shape and willing to play through some stuff. But like, I don't know the answer to the question. Is he just going to be one of those guys? Is he going to be just one of those guys who never, you know, We said this about Joel. The reason I'm hesitant, we've said it about Joel Embiid. We watched Michael Porter Jr. just have a great finals after three back surgeries. Like, we've seen guys, even Jamal Murray from the ACL, which is more common now, but still a heck of a thing. It's not easy to come back from those injuries, but and it's hard to give up on talent like that.
So, yeah, I mean, especially since he's so young, I think you look at the bet, it's like, can't really lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're paying the other guys X amount of millions of dollars, you know, and they still kind of bring in the draw he does. And, like, if it pans out, it really pans. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like venture investing, you know? Like, I was talking to one of my mentors recently about this, and it's like, yeah, you have a lot of ones that don't lose, that don't win, right? But the ones that win, they're like, they win, you know, it's Google. You know, it's like, it's the one win that make you a champion. It's like, oh, you got into PayPal, you got into Google, like you invested in Amazon, you invested in Netflix, that makes your whole career. Right. Then you're the GM that traded for Zion. Like, you can get a job for the rest of your life. You know, people will invite you to sit on boards. And it's like, well, how did you do that when everyone doubted you? It's like, well, you know, like that pays for life. So that's kind of what I mean. It's a bet that to me is a no brainer. Like, just like, you know, you're betting on Amazon or whatever. Like, if it pans out, it pans out, you know?
Yeah. And Scoot is, here's what I know. I know Zion's really good. I think Scoot's going to be really good.
But didn't he fall a little bit? You know, because I remember it was
he's fallen
in all the.
Yeah, he's fallen. There's questions about his shot, I think, is what it comes down to. Is he going to be explosive athleticism, can finish at the rim, looks like a team leader. But if you can't shoot, and there's a question about if Amen Thompson has this in his draft, a few other guys, like, if you can't shoot from the outside, then you're. And I mean, I don't mean this pejoratively, but if you're modern Russell Westbrook. And I can just, like, the current version where I'm like, yeah, he can still get to the rim. He can still finish. He's still an elite athlete. I want to play 4 feet off him, 6 feet off him, and dare him to shoot. Like, your value goes down. Hmm. So
then are there anything else before we head up? And
I don't think so. I just heading into the draft, by the time we're talking about this next week, the day before the draft, and we're talking in more detail, Corey, I think some things are going to have shifted. I think we're going to see trades lined up, and I think we're going to see a lot more activity on draft night, both through the first round, but, like, not just, you know, it's fun to talk about the top five and does somebody want Scoot versus Brandon Miller versus, I think you're going to see a lot of moves in the teens and 20s with teams under the new CBA, like the Lakers, like the Nuggets, we were talking about, there's others who are just like, we got to get some rookies in here. We got to get some guys in here we think can help us. You're still going to have and Kawhi Leonard and Giannis Antetokounmpo and all these guys drafted in the early teens. Like, you still should take some swings.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see a lot of teams be like, hey, who's the high floor guys? I think the high floor guys are suddenly going to look better.
And what about Portland? We talked about New Orleans, what they Portland. Might do with Zion. But what about Portland and Damian Lillard? What direction do you see them going?
They look right now, they are still all on the same page up there, and that page is keep Lillard, trade the pick, do whatever we have to do. We want guys who can help us win now. Their hope is that they could trade the number three and somebody like Anthony Simons, like a good young player, to get a more established player, a Mikal Bridges kind of player. That would be their dream. Somebody
more established is funny because he, like, literally just established himself like a year
ago. Yeah, exactly. But I think that's the goal. They re-sign Jeremy Grant, who we talked about earlier, surprising Jeremy Grant. Make a trade for another star or rising star like Bridges. Keep Lillard, who was deservingly all NBA last year. He was brilliant. And they're not done. They want to make a run at this. Things would have to really fall apart for them to consider trading him, and I'd be shocked if it happens. I'd be surprised if it happens this summer. If everything falls apart and they look terrible at the trade deadline, maybe we're having a different conversation. But right now, I think that they're all – they might trade the pick, but they're not trading the look. They're all in on making it work.
Gotcha. And last but not least, to wrap up, we always like to have a little bit of fun. So think about this idea, you know, in Transformers, the movie just came out. I don't know if you're going to see it, but apparently – I don't know much about Transformers. Apparently, you know, you have a sidekick, obviously. And our producer, Dan, had this idea. Well, like, what would be your sidekick?
You know? Yeah, because I think he was using Bumblebee as the kind of Really, really. Well, yeah. Bumblebee is the cool Camaro that yellow Camaro that becomes the becomes the Transformer. And so, what would you? Car just seems too easy, doesn't it? Like, it would be easy to say, I want my car to be that. And I'm trying to think of what other electronic gadget in my life, though, that had. And then Dan said, well, now they're animals, too. And I'm like, well, now I'm good with that, because I'm entering Pablo Escobar era. And I'm like, I'm just bringing a tiger everywhere I go. I am going to have a tiger that I feed raw meat to in the backyard. And then it's going to come everywhere with me. And then it's going to transform into things when I need it.
Wow.
What about you, Corey?
I'm going to go with a satellite.
Oh, nice.
Because I feel like there's like the space race, where like space race 2.0.
Yeah.
And I feel like that'd be very useful, you know, as people try to, you know, get, you know, go to space more. I feel like, well, you know, it'd be nice to have a friend out there. And I think it'd be also nice, you know, because in theory, like I feel like a satellite would be helpful. You know, if I went to like a submarine or a helicopter or an airplane, you know, I feel like, okay, well, at a certain point, if, what if I'm not, you know, I feel like the accessibility of like, I need information, or like, can you help me locate something? You know, I feel like if I had a friend up in space, like, oh yeah, just like shift and boom, I can get whatever connectivity, or I don't know what I would be using this for.
You're not attaching one of those like laser killing things attached to your satellite, right? Where he just shoots people randomly.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like, there's no ray attached to my satellite. I don't know what I need. If I needed a friend, I feel like a friend in space would be helpful. You know, because I don't really go near water a lot. So I don't really know why I would need a friend in the water, or like, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't really know how this works. I don't drive. I can't have a subway train as my transporter. So I'm like, you know, I might as well go into space. What the heck?
I like the idea of a New York subway just evolving into a transformer.
But once again, it's like, then I go to Coney Island, you know, and then beyond that, like, I'm stuck. It's like, you know, like I can't go, I can go up to the Bronx, but I can't go to Westchester. You know, like, it's like, I feel like it'd be very limited, you know, I'd be like, so, but the satellite, I feel like would be really fun. It'd be like an international space station.
What's it's like, private. Your own data, right? Like it's taking your own satellite images of whatever you need a satellite images of.
So. Once again, I don't know what I would need this for, you know, like, it seems helpful, whatever. So anyways, next week, it's going to be a big week for us. And during the draft, as you mentioned, I'm excited to see what news comes out. A lot of teams found their coaches, right? They found the direction they want to go in, locking down the stars, or going to lose their stars in the case of Washington. This is going to be fascinating, Kurt. We'll see exactly how all this plans out next week.
It's going to be a fun draft, man.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a realtor can help answer. Because realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.